Now it's another day. Is this sitting person Buddha activity?
No.
Is Buddha activity separate from this person?
No.
Is the liberation of this person Buddha activity?
Yes.
Is the imperceptible accord of this sitting person and all beings Buddha activity? Now, some people might say, this sitting person isn't so bad. Some people might say that. That sitting person is not so bad. And so then someone might be tempted to say, actually, that sitting person is Buddha activity. But not really. Buddha activity is the way this person is inconceivable, imperceptible, unstoppable, uninterrupted accord with all beings. And of course, that cannot be separate from this person. And also can be not be separate from all beings. If we switch to say, if we have a really evil person sitting here, now then you might say, is this evil person Buddha activity?
Yes.
No. This evil person isn't any more Buddha activity than an okay person. But here's the hard part, maybe. The way that that evil person, that nasty, cruel, frightened, violent person, the way that person is imperceptibly in accord with all beings, that person is also imperceptibly in accord with all beings. No matter how bad that person is, they too are in that kind of relationship with all beings. Not just the people that are pretty good or way above average. Evil people are not Buddha's activity. The liberation of evil people is Buddha activity. Good people are not Buddha activity. The liberation of them, the imperceptible harmony of them and all beings, that's Buddha activity. That's Zen practice. So nobody's excluded, and nobody in and of themselves is the practice.
Can you simplify that form?
Nobody in and of himself is practice. Is that simple enough? Yes.
So how do you realize Buddha activity?
Well, one instruction is remember stillness. Remembering stillness is an instruction to help us realize Buddha activity. Remembering stillness helps us realize that we're not separate from anything, including the imperceptible according of all beings. And in order to, and if you can remember stillness, that's good. And if you can remember it again, that's good. To continually be able to remember it requires that you practice generosity with your situation. Because sometimes the place where the stillness is to be remembered is, you know, a disaster, a calamity, you know, a sweet boy being poisoned by his own karma. A sweet girl being taken away from her parents, and her parents' minds are like a volcano. It's not easy to remember stillness in the middle of a volcano. How'd you do on that one?
Yeah.
So when, what, how does it say? When the dog bites, when the what?
When the bee stings.
When the bee stings, when the planes fly over, when the bombs drop, when the oceans crash, when these things happen, remember stillness. And that means in order to do that, you have to like accept this stuff. You have to like let it be here. If you don't let the bee sting, then it's hard to remember stillness. It's hard to remember. Even while I get stung and bitten and crushed, Buddha activity is not separate from here. So this is a training thing. To remember stillness, which means remember the place where you're sitting in the center of the universe and Buddha activity is right there. And it's not you, and it's not separate from you. This is a training. But it's, when I say it, maybe it sounds easy or simple. And then just try to be continuous in it. Like we have this expression, practice secretly, working within, like a fool, like an idiot. Like remembering Buddha activity inwardly. It's kind of like an idiot. In the middle of all the terrors of the world, you're remembering Buddha activity. But if you can do this, you can find the teacher within the teacher, wherever you are. But it's not easy. People who try to do it come and tell the teacher, it's so hard. And the teacher says, yeah. You don't have to say that anymore. I got it. So it's a simple instruction and it's hard to practice it. Zen is not separate from how you are right now. Buddha activity, the liberation of beings, is not separate from how you are now. And that statement can be simplified with remember stillness. You don't have to go anyplace to realize Buddhahood. Buddha doesn't need to be other than you to realize Buddhahood. Not a little bit different. Without moving a particle of dust, you can realize Buddhahood. I should say Buddhahood can be realized. Because it's the realization of each person, just as they are. Not moving them over or changing them a little bit and then liberating them. So, remember stillness and silence, which means remember great compassion. And part of great compassion is to be patient with when you forget. And confess when you forget. And then go back and try again. And part of great compassion is to relax. Part of being still is to relax with where you are. You're not really fully being still if you're not relaxed. And again, relaxation follows after or based on diligence. So it's generosity, ethical discipline, patience, and diligence. Once you're diligent, you can relax. Once you pick up every stitch, you can relax. Diligent is similar to, we have this expression, due diligence. So due diligence, or practice due diligence with what's going on, and then you can relax. Another word we have these days is vetting people, right? So vet your situation And when you're thoroughly vetted, okay, now you can relax. Now you're a candidate for Buddhahood. Another word is it triage? Does that apply to? Triage the situation thoroughly. Vet it. Be diligent. Okay, we're really here. Okay, now we can relax. These are practices.
Is the relaxing also another way of saying presence?
He said, is relaxing another way to say presence? Yes, except that, and I would add that presence is, the presence of the Buddhas is relaxed. So, it's a relaxation that's based on these other practices that includes diligence and so on. So all these things together are a breakdown or an analysis of presence. Presence has these qualities of presence is working with what's happening here. Presence is careful of what's happening here. Presence is attentive to what's happening here. Presence is patience, and presence is diligent with what's happening here. And then with all that, presence is relaxed with what's happening here. If we're with something and we're tensing up a little bit, pulling away from it or trying to push it away. Does that make sense? A little bit flinching, you know. A little flinching is a little withdrawing from the presence. So relaxation is not trying to get into it or get away from it, just like melting with it. Yes?
Thank you. I would like to offer this full attention that I remember that how many years I kept coming that it's hard. I used to even say it's too hard, and you said it's hard, not too, you know, so I stay with hardness of it.
I don't correct you.
Oh, suggest it. But you suggest it.
Just then I didn't correct you.
Actually, I love to be corrected because I think it's...
Yeah, you love being corrected so much that even when I don't correct you, you say I do. Which is okay. I'm not going to try to stop you from thinking that I'm correcting you. But I just do mention to you that...
Yes.
You don't need any correction. You're unbelievably perfect. I mean, you can't believe it.
No, I don't. But I like to take the full responsibility.
Yes.
Of maybe it is not hard.
By the way, don't take full responsibility. Accept it.
I like to accept the responsibility and receive the acceptance of responsibility that maybe it is not hard. It is not as hard as we think.
No, it's not as hard as we think. It's hard in some other way.
Some other way. Okay, let's include that other way.
Okay, great. You're on a roll.
It goes back to maybe not. Something. It's the thought that there is something off.
There's a thought that something's off.
Is this offness?
Yeah, that's what I talked about at the beginning. There's a thought that something's off. There's a thought that freedom and peace are off someplace else. Or something about this is off.
Yeah.
Off of Buddha activity. There's that thought.
That it's not here.
Yeah, it's not here. There's that thought.
It's not here.
And that's the thought we need to be respectful of. And honor that thought. And honor it into being released.
Yes, yes. Honor
it. You don't have to get rid of it.
Other, yeah. Somewhere other than.
Exactly.
It's here.
Exactly. We have to take care, be kind to that thought, and we're in the process of liberating ourselves from any discrimination. Mm. And when we are liberated from discrimination, we realize Buddha activity. But the liberation from the something's off comes through loving that thought.
Yes, and
it's hard to love that thought sometimes.
Yes, but by the time the moment of realization, that it comes to the realization, like I realize it, there's this realization, it's already gone.
Yeah. Not only is it gone, but it wasn't what you were trying to get. Wasn't the realization you were looking for, plus it's gone. But don't worry, everything will be fine.
Yeah, of course.
But if you wanted a realization that was going to be around for a while, sorry.
Yes, that's it.
And if you wanted a realization that wasn't around for a while, then realization will make an exception for you and stay for a little while.
Yes, thank you. That's the realization.
Okay, great.
Yes, that's the realization. It's year-round, year-around and around. So
yeah.
It's never, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's never, never, and also always, always.
Yeah.
It's leaping. It's leaping. Always leaping. Free. Of existence and non-existence, of enough and not enough, of here and there, always going like that.
That's it.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. Yes.
It seems like all this leaping takes a lot of energy.
It doesn't take a lot of energy. It gives a lot of energy. It doesn't. The leaping doesn't take any energy.
Concentration.
Concentration, the Buddhist concentration, it leaps. The leaping doesn't take concentration, it is an expression of concentration. When you're really concentratedly you leap free of you. But this process doesn't take anything. It receives. This leaping receives energy. There's this energy all around us. And some of the energy is suffering beings. We receive energy from suffering beings. And if we receive the energy of suffering beings, then we can receive the energy of liberated beings too. All that energy around us, we receive, and in receiving it, there's leaping. So it receives a tremendous amount of energy, and it expresses a tremendous amount of energy. We are, all of us, receiving it takes a lot to make each one of you. You know, it is no mean feat to make you the way you are right now. It took the whole universe to do it. And it gave itself completely to you in the form of you. And then you also give yourself to the universe. So there is enormous energy in making each person, and each person has enormous energy to make a universe. But you're not doing it by yourself. We're helping you. And we're also doing the same thing, and you're helping us. So there is a lot of energy, and with a lot of energy, you can relax.
I think what I understood when you started this and you asked us if this person was Buddha activity, and we said yes, and you said no, that wasn't correct. Is that correct? No.
I didn't say it wasn't correct, did I?
No.
I just said no.
You just said no. That's okay. That's true. Okay.
She said it was true.
It's true that you... what I wonder is if there was pointing to the fact that the Buddha activity that can be realized or witnessed is the activity of liberation on this side. We don't discriminate whether Buddha activity is happening. I mean, it's imperceptibly everywhere, but the way to appreciate Buddha activity is to stay here, not to put it out there. What? I'm just wondering what led to...
As we sometimes say, dragons on both sides. Not just dragons out there, dragons this side too.
Uh-huh.
The realization this side is a dragon, the realization that side is a dragon. It's imperceptible on both sides, and the dance between the two sides is imperceptible.
So from what source was no?
Hmm?
What source was no?
I didn't specify the source for no.
I know, I'm asking.
Yeah. I don't know the source of no. But it included me and included you. I asked a question. You gave an answer. I think the answer was yes.
We said yes.
And then I said no. That no came from that relationship, from that conversation. The realization comes from the conversation. And you can't say where the conversation is. So, the real source is the conversation. And it has no location. It's everywhere, talking with everywhere. It's the universe having face-to-face conversation with the universe. That's where the universe comes from. Is a conversation with itself. But I don't know anything about that. And people who do, they do.
Does that speak to relativity?
Pardon?
Does that speak towards relativity?
Speech is relative. And if we learn how to speak wholeheartedly, we realize that absolute or complete is interfused with relative. So speech is a relative phenomena, but it includes what's beyond speech. But we have to be totally engaged in the relative to demonstrate that there's an inconceivable absolute energy in the relative.
Amen.
Yes. Me just sitting here is part of the conversation, yes.
So why isn't that fluid activity?
Hmm?
Why isn't that fluid activity then? When we said
the conversation of me with everything is Buddha activity. Me by myself is not Buddha activity.
But we had implied that was part of the conversation.
Hmm?
We had already implied that was part of the conversation. We didn't understand the question.
You as the person, because you said this person, and maybe that's what you were referring, that you as the person is not the Buddha activity. You as all, as whole, with all the conversation, that is the Buddha activity, but not as the person. That's what my understanding.
Okay, any more comments from you, June? You have some problem?
Yeah, I guess I do. I don't even know really what my problem is. I have to sit with it a while before I can form it.
Yeah.
But I thought so. Can you say more smoke?
Well, anyway, as I said, it may be a little harder for you on one side to accept that a pretty nice person isn't Buddha activity. Maybe if I said even a nicer person, like a really excellent person, is not Buddha activity, you might say, oh, I thought that really great person was Buddha activity. So that's why I may tone it down to kind of an ordinary person. Yes?
What I'm understanding from this conversation is that Buddha activity is not a noun, it's a verb.
Yeah, it's a verb. Is activity a noun or a verb? Is a noun? It's a noun that refers to a verb.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an action, it's not a thing.
Yeah, Buddha activity, the word is a noun, but it refers to a verb. Yeah. And another thing about Buddha activity is that you can't get a hold of it. So when I say me as person, I meant something you think you can get a hold of. And again, as I said, if it's kind of an okay person, you might say, well, why not? Why not that be Buddha activity? That's why I said I switched over to also. You might be tempted to say a pretty decent person or even the most excellent person like the Buddha. You might think the Buddha is Buddha activity. Like, you know, Buddha. Like somebody who could come up with the inconceivable Buddha Dharma when nobody else knew about it, well, maybe that's a Buddha activity. So I toned it down to something not so lofty, not so tempting. But then I switched over to something that might not be tempting at all, like the worst person you ever heard of. Well, people don't think that's Buddha activity, do they? Oh, you do? Oh. You think cruelty is Buddha activity?
Hmm?
Yeah, I don't think cruelty is Buddha activity. Unless you would be able to demonstrate that cruelty is liberating beings. But if cruelty is liberating beings, I guess then I would switch to your school.
Well, isn't it grist for the mill?
Hmm?
Isn't it grist for the mill?
Yeah, but the grist isn't the same as the working of the mill. Just grist in itself can just be painful. And we want to be free of the pain of a grist. Buddha activity is a way to work with the grist so it starts to turn and pivot and release. Grist is something you can like get stuck in and think you can hold on to. But you can't hold on to the conversation. But you can participate in it even though you can't get a hold of it, you can be part of it. And you can be this grist and I can be that grist, and we can like grind on each other and grind each other into pearls. But the pearls aren't the point either. It's the grinding each other. It's the polishing each other through our conversation. And it isn't these beautiful pearls. It's the relationship. Not the pearls. Is the pearl the Buddha activity? No. Is a beautiful Buddha? Hey, there's a Buddha. Is a Buddha Buddha activity? No. Not the Buddha there, but it's the Buddha in the form of beings are liberated. That's Buddha activity. Yes, Karen and John?
Are you saying that you as a person are something other than a conversation? Could you hold that for a moment? Are you saying that you, person, are something other in addition to a conversation?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm not saying that, no.
Okay. It sounded like you were.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I'm something in addition to a conversation. I am a conversation. But I did say this person sitting here. I didn't say this person in conversation with the universe.
Do you exist outside of a conversation of the universe? I don't think so.
I do not.
Yeah. We have some agreement here.
Yeah. How is what not Buddha activity?
That you, that is a conversation, is Buddha activity.
I didn't say that, though. I didn't say me as a conversation.
Is but that, you're nothing but.
Hmm?
I think you said
so
you're nothing.
You see him as an object.
I said nothing but what?
I thought you said that you agreed that you are nothing but a conversation.
I do, but when I asked the question, I said this person sitting here. I didn't say this person in conversation.
And I'm saying, can this person be here and not be a conversation?
I would say, if this person's a conversation, this person isn't even here.
Yeah.
But I didn't say that. I said this person here. That's what I said.
Well, what's that?
Well, it's something that's not, this person here is here, not there. That person is, I'm saying, is not Buddha activity. That's an isolated person. I didn't say isolated, but that's what I meant. And some of you thought that's what I was saying and said yes.
Are we saying that there are no enlightened persons, only enlightened activity?
I wouldn't say there's no enlightened persons. I would just say that they're not anything other than enlightened activity. They have no existence in addition to enlightened activity. And also, if I'm not saying there's no enlightened persons or no enlightenment, just that we have to be careful not to fall into, like, seeking that or, you know, abiding in that. But I'm not saying there isn't enlightened people. I just don't fall into the secondary about that enlightened person. Don't think that it can be something you can get a hold of. But just because and something you can't get a hold of, I'm not saying there isn't such a thing. And in other words, an enlightened person who is nothing other than Buddha activity.
What is the relationship between face-to-face transmission and Buddha activity that is imperceptible? And what is the relationship between duality or non-duality and delusion?
Face-to-face transmission is none other than Buddha activity. That's that part. Anything else?
Duality, non-duality.
Wait. But what if you don't have face-to-face transmission?
You and I are nothing other than face-to-face transmission. I'm saying you and I are not different than face-to-face transmission.
But you're willing to conversation. You're willing to have face-to-face transmission. But what if you're with somebody who isn't willing to face-to-face transmission?
Well, that person and that person in a relationship with me who doesn't want to talk to me, that relationship is not different from a relationship of face-to-face transmission. That's the way face-to-face transmission is occurring on this occasion, is that person, one person doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And the other person might say, okay, like that story I often tell about my grandson who did not die last week. He was eating breakfast and I was looking at him. And he said, would you... No, and he didn't say anything. He just went like this, kind of furrowed his brow and crinkled his face. And then he said, would you please stop staring at me? And I said, okay. And I looked at the ceiling. And then guess what he said? He said, I don't think Gabe follows instructions. He talked about his cousin. But the thing is that after he said he didn't want to have face-to-face transmission with me, I said okay and looked at the ceiling. And then he was up for having face-to-face transmission with me again. So part of face-to-face transmission is to let people who say they don't want it respect them and say, okay, face-to-face transmission is on vacation. That's the face-to-face transmission. I don't want any more from you. Okay, I respect that. Yes.
Needed to end at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Because another group is coming to be in the room.
I was here for that conversation. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you very much for this conversation.